go, Kim Mulkey. This is a great day to be an LSU women's college basketball fan because I have got something I have been sharing with you for the past couple of weeks. The dream scenario for LSU would be getting a 3-ish seed in the same bracket as UCLA. I am so freaking excited. And one of my favorite things, I watched that full hour-long selection show. LSU was barely mentioned. We are really flying under the radar. I understand that this team right now has a lot, and I mean a lot of issues and question marks. And all in all, we could all see this going really badly because Morrow has injury concerns. Flage hasn't played in a month, but I don't give a damn. This sets up nicely for Kim Mulkey because when we won it a few years ago, there weren't a whole lot of people out there that actually thought we were going to win the whole damn thing. I am not going to say we will. I do think outside of the one line, the two and the three lines this year are really strong. But take a look at our potential Final Four path. I have told you guys, even though UCLA is the number one overall seed, I was praying that we were going to be in the same bracket as UCLA. I would prefer to be in the same bracket as them as, let's say, someone like South Carolina, who we have not beaten during the Kim Mulkey era. I would prefer to not be in the same bracket as a team I think that's very underrated in Notre Dame. They're a 3 seed. Okay, we avoid them as a potential 2 seed here. We also avoid UConn as a 2 seed. We also avoid a team that I think is also really good in USC with the best player in all of college basketball, with Juju Watkins. And we also avoid Texas, who is very beatable. I think they're the most fraudulent elite seed in this whole field, but they have been 2-0 against us over the past month. So you take a look at this bracket. Obviously, we'll start our first 4 games on Saturday. We'll play San Diego State. As many of you know, this first 4 has not been the best during the Kim Mulkey era. We had that scare last year where we didn't play the absolute best, but who gave a damn? We were able to get it done. And then, of course, a few years back, we lost to Ohio State in the first 4. Y'all, I can't say it enough. LSU got a very, very, very good draw. And I know that sounds crazy because you're in the same bracket as the number one overall seed, but let's just say we do beat NC State, who made a long run in the NCAA tournament last year, and we do play UCLA for the whole shebang to go to Tampa Bay, all the pressure, and I mean every ounce of the pressure would be on UCLA's shoulders. We're playing with house money, baby. So overall, let's call a spade here. LSU women's basketball got themselves a really good draw. Now, am I Charlie Cream? Am I Rebecca Lobo? Am I Audrea Carter? No, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I am the super-duper basketball expert. I am not Michelle Vopel. But what I will tell you is I was ecstatic when we were in the same bracket as UCLA. And I understand we're in the Spokane bracket, so we would have to go a few time zones over there and all that stuff. But Kim, you got yourself a good bracket, and I think we have a chance to make a run. I think Flage coming off an injury. No one's talking about Flage Johnson right now. Nobody. Remember, she torched UCLA last season. One of the best individual performances, not only in LSU women's basketball history, but any LSU sport history. So really excited about that. Also really excited about a sweep. Sweeps! Baby, I love me a good sweep, but we didn't just get one sweep. It wasn't good enough to get one. We got ourselves 2 sweeps. Jay Johnson gets it done. And then, of course, the great Beth Tarina. I know she's not one an Addy, but damn it, Beth Tarina is a good coach. She gets it done. Shout out to her. Shout out to Jay Johnson. Shout out to Monster Milo, my guy. Shout out to Daniel Dickinson. And shout out to that great pitching staff, Chase Shores on us. All the LSU baseball and national baseball experts are saying, whoa, LSU's got a pitching staff where their best player is potentially pitching on day three. Or I didn't word that too smoothly, but he could be. I mean, look, the best pitching staff could be LSU baseball. And this is basically what Jay Johnson does. This dude is a freaking animal. He honestly, and I understand that this is going to come off as hyperbole and you should never compare people to freaking goats, but he's got that Saban mentality, man. He is freaking ruthless. He is not an end results guy. He is a process oriented coach. And he said, look, my pitching last year sucked. And I understand that 7-6 win last night was very dicey. And I understand, you would like your starters to pitch a little bit deeper into games. But, y'all, it's so hard to sweep anybody in the SEC. Hard to do it. So, of course, this wasn't Tennessee. This wasn't Florida. This wasn't Ole Miss or Arkansas. They played a great series this weekend. This still, though, is a sweep of an SEC team. They look like they had some juice this year. So shout out to the Missouri Tigers for bringing the heat. What's up, Christopher? Good to see you. Good to see all our viewers on Facebook, YouTube, and all of that. But I know a lot of you want to get into spring football. There is one player in particular we will talk about a little bit later. But I want to bring this up to you, and I need you to comment down below. Do you think we are living in the best period of LSU athletic fandom ever? It very well could be the case. Let's just say you look at it from a five-year window, starting in 2020, where the year started off with you winning a national championship in football with the greatest team ever, and then you win a Heisman a few years later, and you go to an SEC championship game in the first year of a coach in Brian Kelly, and then you have Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, all the shebang, right? Then you win another natty in baseball under Jay Johnson. Then you win your first natty in any basketball, but in women's basketball, you get your first one. And then you also get your gymnastics national championship. And then you have some good years with Beth Tarina, who we'll talk about quite a bit tonight. Then, of course, you do what you do in swimming and all these other smaller sports. I will say, when you get into this golden age conversation, it's hard to beat 2003 to about 2008, where you won two football national championships. And yes, you can get into a debate. Would you prefer to have the greatest college football team of all time, or would you prefer two natties? Which was the first of the modern era, and then, of course, the 07 season. Then, what is really slept on in the history of LSU athletics is that the women's basketball team went to five consecutive Final Fours from, 04 to 08? But to me, what really puts that era over the top, and I tweeted about this over the weekend. Yeah, John Brady, take us to a Final Four. And I probably don't share this enough, how much I freaking love John Brady. I went to the John Brady basketball camps when I was little. Those were huge for my confidence. Those camps are so much fun. So much fun. Okay. But I really, really, really think that era still slightly holds it. And then, of course, you had a bunch of baseball success. You don't win a natty. The 09 natty is a little bit outside of that window, 03 to 08. But if you want to shift it to 04, 09, you can still make a case. And then, of course, you had a few other College World Series mixed in there as well. How many College World Series did we go to in that period? Oh, wow. 03. 04, 08. So you went to three College World Series in that period, but you didn't actually win the Natty. So what I would say, if you were to say that was the golden age, if you want to talk about elongated success, that's probably better than this age we're in. But if you want to talk about pinnacle success, this age that we are in right now is definitely the best. But think about it this way. Most of you watching this right now, unless you are super-duper young, you have gotten to live through two of these ages. And if you are a fan of the individual superstar, if you are a star-driven sports fan, then this age kills the other age. It's not even close, all right, when it comes to superstars. I mean, you had two baseball players bigger than any baseball player that played in that era. You had two football players bigger than any football player that played in that era. You got multiple women's basketball players. Well, Angel Reese, bigger than, of course, Sylvia Fowles, who was the best player of that era. So if you want to take a look at stars and then you get into the NIL stuff and all of that. But, man, I just wanted to share, before we start breaking down our spring football footage, we've done multiple film studies over the past couple of days. Let's just celebrate that we are here. So there you go. Now, before we get into spring football, what's up, Randy? You know I'm bringing the energy, baby. Cortland, good to see you. Tony, oh, come on, Jackson. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. This is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. You can't just jump into my live stream talking about like this. So what the? Oh. Someone texted me, hey, there's some breaking news I don't want to share with you. Oh. I guess there wasn't anything. I was looking for it. Let's go to Donald. Shout out to LSU alum and former John Brady assistant Larry Cordero, coach of Troy, going dancing. I didn't know that. I didn't know. Honestly, let's see. LSU beat the 2 seed by 20. Let's go. Now, let's get into some spring football. Spectrum wants to talk about Zion Williams, number 94, true freshman. Big boy. He obviously looks the part. The guy that really stood out to me over this weekend, and by the way, I want to be completely clear. I do not go to the practices. I don't. But I do speak religiously to a few media members and staff that are there. And there was a practice over the weekend where media was able to watch for the entirety and only film for a bit. These are the newcomers that are making the most noise. The first, DJ Pickett. Interception during a scrimmage portion. It's not just the INT. He is going to be a big piece for what LSU does next season. Then we get to Sadir Mitchell. Force equals mass times acceleration. That's what my physics teacher, Shelley Forbes, once told me. She won twice on Jeopardy. She knows what she's talking about. We used to call her Slick. One of the best, if not the best, teacher I've ever had in any subject at any point in my life. And that matters. Sadir Mitchell is 350 pounds. There's just not many of those guys walking around, period. Now, are there quite a few 350-pound people that exist? Yeah. But they have cankles. They are buried in their couches. Sadir Mitchell can move. I am really excited about him. And like I've said repeatedly about number 99, Texas was loaded at defensive tackle. Loaded. And a lot of that was Bo Davis. Bo Davis has had multiple seasons now at Texas. Now, he wasn't at Texas last year, but it was still basically his room. And then the year before that, he had two players selected in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. Might have had two first-rounders if it wasn't for some off-the-field stuff with T'Vondre Sweat. But Texas was loaded at DT this year. 15 was a good player. 45 was a good player. 98 was a good player. So Sadir Mitchell wasn't going to play. So I'm really excited about him. I've heard some good things. Some other news and notes is that Jack Pyburn and Barry and Brown were both mic'd up. I'll tell you why that might mean something in just a moment. But now we go to the other side of the football, and there are concerns about how this LSU offense will look next season. But the truth, the key to all success over the past couple of seasons in college football has been about the year five and year six quarterback. Garrett Nussmeier is a true year five quarterback in year two of himself being a starter. Great quarterbacks make everybody's life easier. We can get into the development of Michael Van Buren. We can get into Juwan Johnson going from a red non-contact to a white jersey as a third-team quarterback. But another guy that's really been good for them is Barry and Brown. So they mic'd him up. They mic'd Jack Pyburn up. Now, this is big. Flew a little under the radar because it was released on a Friday. Ross Dellinger is a reporter. I know Ross. We've been friends for a while now. And Ross is, to me, one of the best national college football reporters I have ever read. And there have been plenty of good ones out there. One just retired in Dennis Dodd. Ross Dellinger revealed quite a bit in his piece. Now, I don't want to bring up the piece too much specifically because you can go read it for yourself about LSU's NIL efforts and how the roster costs $2 million in 2022, $5-ish million in 2023, and whatever the number was last season. I've heard different things as far as what those specific numbers were and if those numbers were indeed accurate. He also shared a few names of some of our big-time donors and what they've done in matching Brian Kelly's $1 million donation. It also was repeated to me that, yes, you know, Bayou Tradition donations really do matter, but the true needle movers are the $1 million donations. So there was one made by a big businessman out west named Holden Spott, I believe. There's another former LSU football player who's a billionaire. He played in the 70s who made a big donation. And then, of course, Brian Kelly's big donation. We have done a really good job. And what we expected, the Bryce Underwood reaction was what brought our money together for us to succeed at a high level. Now, this, to me, is my big takeaway from all of that. It is so vitally important to know that that doesn't mean that this roster is bulletproof. The second thing is that we are putting ourselves, when pieces like this are written, under a lot of pressure to make the college football playoff this season. Now, the truth is that LSU already has a plan set in place for 2026. Another truth that we have shared on here before about Austin Thomas, a behind-the-scenes guy who is the general manager of the team. They have a formula that gives them numbers for who deserves what on a pay scale. I've spoken to people at Bayou Traditions and TAF. I've spoken to players and their parents about negotiations and all of that. And it does get spicy on who deserves what. I also know of LSU's efforts to pay big money for potential fringe players to come back. They tried to bring Emory Jones back because before the season, Emory Jones was being projected to be a first or second round pick. That, of course, is no longer the case. So they did put forth effort to bring back some guys that were, but they decided to go. I understood Emory Jones. You started three seasons and you felt like it was time to go. The truth, though, is that this roster still has a lot of question marks. Still. And what you should hope for is that there are going to be multiple guys that might be playing a role now, but could be in a different role, and you hope those players step up. One more thing. I do think, myself included, we do have a tendency to be a little too LSU focused at times. Because goodness gracious, quite a few teams on our rosters or on our schedules have holes on their rosters as well. And I'll share just a few things that I'm hearing at other spring camps. The first is that DJ Lagway is hurt. So he had the lower body injury. But Mark Long of the AP in Florida has reported that he's having shoulder problems now. That's a big deal because we play him early in the season. He more than likely will be healthy by the time we get there. But who knows? Then we have South Carolina early in the season. They have a new OC. They have some new pieces on defense. Their safety, Nick Inwin-Wart, I always butcher his last name. He's no longer there. He's a really good player for them. So that's just two like quick examples. And we also know Alabama is not bulletproof under any circumstance. So I do think next year, while our schedule, I feel, is tougher overall, because I do think Clemson's really, really, really good, and it's going to be hard for them to not make the playoff, regardless of if they lose versus us in week one, because I do think the ACC has a lot of questions. And then number two, I really do like their roster. I mean, the SEC could open up for us next year. So I'm really excited about that as well. So look, personally, I've shared this with our patrons. I've shared it with you on here. Yes, I am worried about our current roster, even factoring in the fall enrollees. But if you do have some dominoes that float in your favor, you could be very good. What if, and let's just put it out there, okay? What if DJ Pickett is special? What if he's special? Corey Raymond recruits very hard. We all know that. He's an all-time great recruiter. But what if Corey saw something a little bit different in DJ Pickett? Remember, no one thought he was picking LSU. He picked LSU. Everyone thought, even after he picked LSU, that this was going to be a situation where maybe at the final finish line, he wasn't actually going to sign with LSU. He signs with LSU. What if he is that guy? Remember, LSU does have some positive recruiting regression heading in their favor. And what I mean by that is they have had quite a few top 100 national recruits just not pan out. That means, more than likely, that they're about to really have some that do. And that's a good thing. What if Harlan Berry is special? I think he's going to be good. I do. But what if he's special? Like, holy crap, this guy has got some real wiggle. He is a real deal playmaker. What if that's the case? Jared, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate you. So, overall, positive, encouraging stuff. There was one thing Garrett Nussmeier did during the scrimmage portion, and we'll discuss that coming up after the break, and then we'll take a few more of your comments. It looks like Spectrum wants to talk defensive ends. We got Nathan putting his life savings on LSU to win the Natty in 2024. Well, if you're going to do your life savings, make sure you do some price shopping. Randy, NC State. Yeah, I mean, once again, I won't go on the spiel again about LSU seeding, but I'm really happy with where we are. Now, coming up next, Garrett Nussmeier did something a little bizarre during practice.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. All righty. So Garrett Nussmeier had a little scramble during the brief 11-on-11 period. I love to see it. Gary Nussmeier can run some, but I don't care if he's not an elite runner. He just needs to take more of those rushing opportunities. And if he does, it's going to make life a lot easier for our offense, in particular, two new starting offensive tackles. Now, this is kind of sort of breaking news right here. There was an On3 reporter who just projected Ethan Booby Feaster to commit to LSU. As you can see, he's a top 100 wide receiver from DeSoto, Texas. I believe he also is originally from Louisiana. As many of you know, I don't do as deep of breakdowns on 2026 recruits, because of the transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff. This is a good thing. Anytime you get a top 100 recruit, especially one that you've put a lot of resources into in recruiting, it's always a good thing. So Ethan Feaster might be joining this 2026 LSU class, which right now ranks number 12 nationally. And that number is actually going to go up. Obviously, if he does commit, you'll probably go into the top 10. Still very early. Per the 247 numbers, our recruits aren't as highly rated as they are on 3. But you take a look at the state of Louisiana, you've got a lot of kids already committed. We've talked about Bryston Martinez. Aiden Hall is someone that I like a lot. I actually agree that on 3 has him ranked a little bit higher. But then you have two kids from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, all right, especially Lamar Brown, who can walk to LSU's campus. It is interesting how much lower the 247 rankings are than the on-3 rankings of the in-state Louisiana kids and the LSU recruits, because you can see their composite rankings go up quite a bit. Lamar Brown isn't a five-star per 247, he becomes a five-star in the composite. Blaine Bradford, you just saw it, not a five-star, becomes a five-star in the composite. Richard Anderson slides up a few slots. Aiden Hall, went up 100 slots from the regular 247 ranking to the composite 247 rankings. Jabari Mack moves up quite a bit. So it is interesting. Same thing with Bryson Martinez. Now, that's probably going to change. But it is something. Okay. Now, we got to talk about something negative. It's only been positive up to this point. It's only been positive. I've talked about gymnastics. They win the SEC over the weekend. I've talked about softball and my love for Beth freaking Tarina. She is a dream PHL guest. I've talked about Jay Johnson, who has the potential to be one of the best baseball coaches. And we're going to end with this tonight. My condolences to Skip Bertman, his wife Sandy passing away over the weekend. A lot of you know that already, But I really do think Jay Johnson has a chance. Now, no one, I don't think, is ever going to catch Skip Bertman, but Jay Johnson, holy crap. I mean, we got ourselves some hyenas. Shout out to Jay Johnson. I mean, we're loaded, freaking loaded. Beach volleyball played the number one and number two teams in the country over the weekend. I don't know how they did. I'm sorry, in my prep, I didn't go look up how beach volleyball did. But we got to talk about men's basketball. So, there are reports that we're not playing in the NIT. Now, I get it. The NIT, CBI, FBI, CIA, there's a gazillion tournaments. And they're talking about expanding the NCAA tournament. What's going to happen to all these tournaments? There's so many damn tournaments. So, this is what happened. I give you a little bit of behind the scenes. The NCAA tournament took a record 14 SEC teams in the field. 14. We were one of the two schools that didn't get in. Now, are we a basketball school? No. It's okay. Are we a women's basketball school? You betcha. But is it too much to ask to make the damn tournament? 14 of the 16 teams. 7 out of every 8 schools. If you were to field a team of the best basketball players at each individual school, LSU might win. They might field the best starting 5 out of anybody. And I sung John Brady's praises at the beginning. Texted John Sibley, who's really good friends with John Brady. And I freaking love John Brady. I just do. All right. And even like the non-Shaq legends, Stroll Miles Swift, Rudy Macklin, all those different great players, Marcus Thornton, so on and so on and so on. It is disrespectful we are this bad at basketball. Disrespectful. Well, Carter, it's the NIL investments, and I had a few of you get on me about the NIL comments I made. Dude, it falls on deaf ears. Vanderbilt was a mess. Fire Jerry Stackhouse. They're in the tournament. Year one, in the tournament. Y'all, turnarounds happen in no more than 2 seasons. Really look at this tournament field. Turnarounds happen in no more than 2 seasons. That's how it works. We weren't close to the field. We were not close. So the way I understand it, the NIT automatically offers the 3 best SEC teams into the tournament that didn't make the NCAA tournament. But here's the problem. There was only 2. So South Carolina and LSU got participation trophy invites from the NIT. We still don't take it. Now, I am not going to be one of those annoying people that say, we should still have the general Wade. I understood why we had to do what we had to do. Some of that was national media witch hunting. Yeah, it was. And yes, would never disagree with that. But what is happening right now is unacceptable. And I understand I'm going to get angry emails and texts saying, hey, this isn't going to help NIL funding. Y'all, we should be in the tournament. And I understand many would say, well, Carter, if 14 of the 16 SEC teams made it, that means it was harder to make the NCAA tournament, right? But here's the problem. This is not just a one-year thing. This is not just a one-year thing. We are multiple years into this. Now, this is what I get repeatedly told about this. Well, you know, Carter, Matt McMahon's a good guy. He is a good guy. You know who else was a good guy in the SEC? In fact, he was the best guy. I interviewed him 1,000 times. I say 1,000 times, hyperbole. But I talked to him quite a bit. He's a coach by the name of Mike Anderson. Mike Anderson was a coach at Arkansas. And he took them to NCAA tournaments. He coached multiple NBA players. And Michael's a really good guy. Arkansas decided to let go of him. They got Eric Musselman. They got even better. And then that led them to John Calipari. Then Mike Anderson, really good guy. Doesn't break the rules. Sets great culture. Really good handshaker. Kiss baby guy. He is a really good coach. Coached those Damari Carroll, Missouri teams. He is a really, really, really good coach. You know what St. John's did to Mike Anderson? They kicked him out the door, paid the buyout, and went and got Rick freaking Pitino. Rick Pitino is the best college basketball coach of all time. He was out there. There's a couple of those guys out there. And a couple of those guys I know for the right price would want to come back and coach. Y'all, does NIL involvement for men's basketball really move the needle? Yes, that's why the SEC has moved forward. We saw Dick Vitale over the weekend call out the ACC for NIL spending. But y'all, it's about the damn coach in men's college basketball. It's about the damn coach. All right? I give a program like Tennessee a lot of credit. Tennessee is not a men's basketball program. They're a women's basketball program. They had the greatest women's basketball coach of all time in Pat Summitt. But they decided, hey, we are not going to settle for average. So they've had quite a few great coaches at Tennessee. They had Quanjo Martin, who was fine. But over the past decade, they've had Bruce Pearl, and they've had Rick Barnes. They went and got guys that are damn good. Those guys are two of the best to hold the clipboard. They're two of the 10 best coaches in the sport right now. We have got to go get our right guy. I will say it. Now, will I still be a fan of Matt McMahon? Yes. I will still support him tooth and nail. But we're not in this damn NIT. And I understand there is a benefit of not playing in the NIT because you could start the recruiting process now. But I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Dan Hurley said in a CBS interview that recruiting the next year's roster actually started last month. And that pissed a lot of people off, but it's true. Players are already positioning themselves for agents. And what makes college basketball very spicy is that the non-Power 4 guys can really move the mother effing needle. Non-P4 guys trying to move up can move the freaking needle. Perfect example. Take a guy like C.J. McCollum. Could you imagine what C.J. McCollum would have gotten if he could have transferred for a fee while he was dribbling his life away at Lehigh, and he beat Duke? Could you imagine what Damian Lillard could have gotten from Weber State to move up a level? A metric F-ton. So there are true needle movers from the non-P4, all right? But we're not getting those guys. So I understand that the logic is, well, if we get the right amount of money, we can for sure, build a roster that is good enough to get us where we need to go. No, we're in over our skis at the head coach position. It's nothing against Will Wade, but this is a real, real, real juggernaut SEC conference. I am starting to question, and this is really freaking crazy, and we could talk about the morality all we want. But I am starting to question if Chris Beard is a top five SEC coach. Now, really, really take that to heart. Now, one of you in this chat knows Chris Beard. All right, so I won't say who. But that's how hard it is to win in the SEC right now. I'm not sure if Chris Beard's a top five coach. Todd Golden at Florida. We can get into morality with him too. Was hired the same year Will Wade was hired. I We don't have to accept this. So, look, that's why I gave you 35 plus minutes of nothing but positive Power Hour LSU analysis. But it's driving me wild. Driving me wild. There are season ticket holders watching this right now that in large part agree with me. All right. We're not it. We're not it. Teams sleepwalk against us. And I hate that. And there's been plenty of great, solid players on this team. Derek Fountain and so on. I mean, there's a gazillion. But dear Lord, man, I just don't know. I am praying to the high heavens. I was praying that North Carolina wasn't going to make the tournament so they can get Nate Oates out of the SEC. But damn it, dude. These conferences are freaking loaded, bro. The SEC is loaded. All right. Let's take a few of your questions. Jared, who super chats, I remember when we were in the tournament. Yes, I want to just be in the tournament. I want some kind of postseason success. Let's go offer Carmelo's son $1 million. He's pissed off. He didn't make the McDonald's All-American game. Let's go F it at this point. Have Melo courtside at every game. 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, podcast recordings. How about we go get Dennis Gates at Missouri? All right, so look at what Dennis Gates did. Dennis Gates went to the tournament in year one, won a game, for some reason attacked the media after that game, and then got beat by Princeton. All right, got upset. Then Missouri sucked last year. They were historically bad last year. So you know what Dennis Gates did? He looked at himself in the mirror and said, "We suck." So I read and I saw this briefly on Twitter. He brought in a few different extra eyes to come help rebuild his offense. Missouri's back in the tournament. They're a sixth seed. They were 0-18 last year. I don't know. I don't know what can we do about the 6-minute droughts. I don't know. And I'm glad nobody, this is a criticism. What's up, Tyler? Good to see you. This is the thing I don't want to hear this again. Well, did you know he coached John Morant? It's not a compliment. It's not. It's not. Like, it's a compliment if you say, "Hey, did you know Jim Boeheim coached Carmelo Anthony and won an Natty with Carmelo Anthony?" Yeah, but he also won a lot more games outside of that. I'm ready for the angry emails. Send them. I don't care. I'm just frustrated that we're not playing postseason basketball. But hopefully this prevents us from getting destroyed by North Texas. Look, Will Wade, you want to talk about NIL? Will Wade has a student manager's signing NIL deals. That's the only Will Wade thing I'll say. Student managers getting sponsors. Kid is getting McAfee sponsors. I will donate $1,000 of my own money, and I don't have the money to donate. Maybe during football season I do. I'll donate $1,000 to the Rick Pitino Fund. F it. Tony Bennett's out there. Jay Wright. Maybe Jay Wright says, look, I'm already solidified as what? He's top 20 college basketball coach of all time with two natties and Nova. Maybe Jay Wright says, look, his analysis wasn't as good this year as it was in years past. Maybe he's tired of it and says, look, I want to get in on this. You want, and if Woodward is a big fish guy, Jay Wright and Tony Bennett have won natties. They're doing nothing right now. Nothing. I know neither would probably come. They're not from this area. But maybe they do. Maybe they do. Huh? I'm just saying there's natty coaches doing nothing right now. And the thing that in particular, I've shared the Tony Bennett take. The thing that I like about him is that he is going to do something. It's not going to be pretty, but it's going to counteract what a lot of the teams are doing in our conference. A lot of the teams in the SEC are very offensively, analytically inclined. And what the offensive analytics say is that you should push the ball and shoot within 10 seconds on the shot clock. Okay? Every second matters. Ask Rick Pitino about that. But the truth, if you really need a coach to counteract that, Tony Bennett does the exact opposite of that. So it's not going to be sexy basketball. That might be the thing is though, if you're cash strapped for basketball, you would want somebody like that who can ugly up a game, slow it down, and really bore you to death and play games like 63 to 60. So there you go. Now, we're close to the hour mark. Here's what you're going to do. In the next 10 to 15, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. I do want to once again, and I'm not sleeping on it, but we've got better teams on the horizon. If you do go by the eye test, LSU baseball looks really good. I mean, really, really, really good. As many of you know, you can count how many times LSU's won the first two and not be able to win the third, you get a sweep. I want to play this audio. I wasn't going to play any audio tonight. But I do want to play By the way, we are doing a bracket challenge. The link is in the PHL Patreon Discord. Let me know if you want in on the challenge. I'm on the wrong page. I want to play this clip from Michael Braswell, who is a starter, inconsistent as a fielder last year, but he was still really good for us towards the end of the year in particular. I know he wants to play, but look, we're just loaded. I mean, it's just that simple. It's via WAFB.
I feel like, you know, I don't really care, honestly. I mean, I want us to win. I mean, I came back to go to Omaha, and whether I play or not, I mean, I want to contribute to winning, and I want us to go to Omaha, honestly. So, everybody's playing great. So, I mean, I think that I'm handling it pretty well, I guess.
There we go. That's what it's all about. He's also got the double cross necklace. I actually got my wife one of these necklaces not too long ago. Shout out to you, Brazzy. That was via John Eads and WAFB. That's a senior talking. A senior. Doug? You want to get spicy tonight? Tony Bennett's wife is an LSU grad. Yeah, y'all want to get spicy? So my favorite memories growing up is of course LSU football, but I think the first thing I like really gravitated to as a kid, outside of Michael Jordan and my dad's love for Michael Jordan, was the NCAA tournament. I remember going to my t-shirt closet, my white Hanes t-shirts, and with green markers writing number 12 Mateen Cleaves jerseys. I freaking love March Madness. That's why, you know, I don't ask much. I just want LSU in the tournament. A lot. I would like to be in it every year. It's just fun having a fighter's chance in the mayhem. But, you know, I just freaking love this field. I really freaking do. It's just so much fun, March Madness. The sign up for our tournament challenge. Password is NussJayden. NussJayden. But I just want to be back in the tournament. That's it. Is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask? We get back into the tournament. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm the one tripping. I remember being A&M. Mitchell's 3. Number 2022. God, that run was so much fun. And that was a loaded Final Four that year. Memories. Good times. This makes me sad. It is to us. Let's see here. I was not happy with Liverpool today. We slept walk in a final. But I also understood why we slept walk in a final. Got beat by Newcastle 2-1. Sucks so bad. It really, really, really does. Okay. I want to I think I had a LeBron take normally later in the streams. And we've had a few new first timers trickle in. Later in the stream, we go into different sports. It's interesting that LeBron's having the season that he's having, and you know, people are picking the Lakers to win. And I don't share a lot of my betting picks. I don't bet as much as I used to. I try to do like my own projections and studying and all that stuff. Just not smart enough. I want to learn how to build like real models. Add my own like little model, but you know, I follow a few analytics, keep up with Ken Palm and all of that. I just know that when push comes to shove, Don Staley is a freaking machine. And man, I don't know. I have no idea who's going to win this women's bracket. Last year was a very strong case, and it just was a better women's tournament than a men's tournament, right? I think these are a little bit more even. I do think the women's tournament is still a little bit more captivating. There's still more star power in the women's tournament, in my mind. God, I don't even know who to pick. I really, really, really don't. And that's what's exciting about it. But maybe I just end up picking LSU.
This will be.
My hottest take is I do think Kevin Durant will be a Laker at some point. That there's got to be it. I've been having that feeling since the Luka trade. I kind of think the Suns want to blow it up anyway. Let's go to Sibley, plugged in at a few different universities. He said the LSU family believes that Coach Mack could not be fully judged because of the injuries. It's true. They did lose Jalen earlier this season. Okay. And by the way, every single college basketball team has a Jalen or a Jaden. If you have a Jalen or a Jaden, that player is probably a stud. So, come on. Is that fair and logical? First off, Sibley, thank you for your friendship. He and I texted back and forth about John Brady over the weekend. I understand, when John left, it was time to part ways. And Coach Johnson, it's not been pretty. You know, but for me, when I look at coaching in college basketball, I really do believe patterns form And if you look really closely and you look at a sample size for a coach over, let's say, 5 or so years, you will get to know who those coaches are, who the good coaches actually are. For instance, a coach that a lot of people don't think is all that good because he's not been a great tournament coach per se is Shaka Smart. Y'all, Shaka Smart is good everywhere he goes. He is good. He's not elite, but he's good. He won at VCU. He won at Texas. He freaking is winning at Marquette. Now, those are three good programs. And all three of those programs have won before him and after him. But neither, not any of those three programs are elite. Normally, the good coaches are the good coaches. I know that that sounds like just a very oversimplified thing. But it's no matter the resources or really where you are, you normally figure it out within a few years. Okay? Now, like we said earlier, we are not the basketball school. But you know who else wasn't? Alabama. And I understand. Antonio McDice, whatever. But this conference is just too good. It's too good. You've got to have a heavyweight hitter. You just do. You just do. So, you know, if Matt McMahon said, "Hey, Carter," former John Brady basketball camp participant, "if you're talking so much, what do you recommend I do?" Well, I do agree that you got to have injury luck and you do need, you know, funding to keep up with these big schools that do fund their team, like an Auburn, if you will. But the first thing I would do is really break down. Because what really hurts LSU basketball is when they go on these long periods of sustained crap play. Why does it happen? Why? The second thing is, I'm not saying that we did not play hard. But what I want each and every one of you to do is sit down and watch a Rick Pitino or a Tom Izzo or Shaka Smart, if you will. I'm using Shaka Smart because, you know, he's in that very good tier, but not quite elite tier. That's all I'm asking for. I just want to be in the tournament every now and then. Y'all, their players don't just play hard. They play like savages. There is a viscerality with them. And then on the offensive end, it's creative. They cut. They open each other up for easy baskets. It's a fun watch. So, watch those teams and how they play. And you'll see, when it's time to go up for a rebound, their guys are crashing the freaking glass. Now, Sibley, he did take them once, but it was a really bad loss. All right. So, yeah, we probably do need better players. I will say that plenty of times over. But there's plenty of tournament teams that make it with not great players. Hell, suit Taz and Mitchell up. Does he have an extra year of eligibility? One more thing. I want to go on a little rant on. All right. This happens quite a bit. So I study media. I take in a lot of internet media because, you know, it's what I do. It's YouTube and all of that. But I'm not as big on Facebook as I am on YouTube. All right. But there is so much fake stuff posted on Facebook. And this isn't like fake news or anything like that. But every quarter, there's just one person that every Facebook comedian or poster, and they all post, they copy and paste, steal the same stuff and repost it. And it's fake. Or it's a fabrication. I would always, when you see a quote graphic with a quote and a still image of the human being, I would say 90% of the time, it's either flat out false or in a slightly different context than if you were to go look at the full clip. So the person that's in the middle of all of this right now is Angel Reese. There are so many fake Angel Reese quotes out there. I'm tired of it. Now, is Angel Reese a perfect person? No. She herself has said she is a villain, which is good. You need villains to really push your sport, right? We're kind of in the 80s era of the WNBA, where Magic and Bird were friendly villains, all right? Is Angel Reese's style of play unconventional? Yes, but she is also a trendsetter. Now, she's not Caitlin Clark. I myself am a Caitlin Clark fan as well. But holy crap, Angel Reese has done all these awesome things just for people to share all these fabricated Facebook quotes. They're not real. They're not real. And there have been images, AI images, all that stuff. At least when you look at those, you can immediately tell those are fake. Now, those are even more deplorable, but at least you could tell those are fake. But holy crap. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I feel bad for Angel. I'm always in her corner. But this goes for anything. Facebook is a cesspool of fake quote graphics. And people believe it. And they get into their comment section high horse. Well, the WNBA ratings suck and they lose money every year. No shit. No shit. No, tell us something else that we don't know. Okay? The WNBA players might go on a lockout. Good for them. Good for them. Take a few more here. Sibley, thanks again. Oh, we got an NIT invite, Melo. We turned it down. I will say, if you were to do something with McMahon, you probably need at least two or three names you know for sure would take the job. And they would need to be relatively big names. Welcome, David, to the channel. Oh, no, David. Got to make those threes. Yeah. Yeah, our free throw shooting does need to get better. That was a big reason why Texas was able to beat us. They beat us from the foul line. And honestly, we just got to make the layups. Oh, we've got to make those layups. Y'all see that clip of the Pirates coach telling Paul Skeens, "Hey, you're starting opening night." Imagine if Dan Quinn, if there was a clip, let's just say the Commanders filmed Dan Quinn telling Jaden Daniels, "You know what, Jaden, I'm gonna let you take the first snap of the first game." Hell yeah, freaking Paul Skeens is going to be the opening day pitcher. And maybe there's a few MLB stitch heads in here that could correct me. Like, currently, how many pitchers in the MLB are better than Paul Skeens? I can't answer that. I can't. I'm honestly, like, trying to figure that out. Like, Clayton Kershaw's over the hill, right? So, I almost said Justin Verlander. Who is a better? I don't want anyone in here to be LSU, but I'm genuinely asking. There's got to be at least one MLB, like, super diehard in here. Oh, we're going to Austin for LSU baseball? Is that what we're going to do, Sibs? I'm going to tell Hey to pack me up. Man. That would be fun as hell. Only problem, Sibs, for me to come to this, I love March Madness so much that I'm just going to be so March Madness-pilled from Thursday to Sunday that it's so hard for me to concentrate and travel. Now, if it was maybe Sweet 16 weekend, I don't know. I might do that. Why not? Would I be sitting with you, John? This is a good question. Would I trade Zion this summer? No. He's too good. I would have told you over the last 2 years, yes. And I've said it repeatedly, yes. And maybe you should sell high now because he has been that guy. like borderline first team all NBA good. Now, SGA, Giannis, and Jokic are like on a different plane right now. You can make a case for like Donovan Mitchell and a few others, but you know, peak Zion, sheesh. So, yeah, I mean, if the Pelicans get the number one overall pick, Zion, Cooper Flagg, Trey Murphy is kind of sexy. And it's kind of, it kind of gets me going, if you will. And then go give Naz Reid a big contract, bring him home. Oh, crap, Cole's going to be there? Oh, dang. I might be gone. I haven't been to Austin in forever. Man, if you guys don't mind, I'll go on another rant. The North Carolina athletic director being the head of the NCAA tournament committee is more proof that the NCAA tournament is mad. Like, they're literally insane. NCAA decision makers. The fact that we still allow athletic directors to sit on these boards is stupendously dumb. It makes no sense. The funny thing is ADs themselves don't really need to know a whole lot about sports. They're busy. But you see, college football at least has the wherewithal that oftentimes the head of the college football playoff committee is someone at a school that's not going to be in the college football playoff. But the NCAA says, hey, let's make the head of the NCAA tournament, March Madness, the athletic director of the best program in the sport. Do you see how problematic that is? Do you see that? And, you know, where it really lends itself is like, you would think there would be favoritism towards North Carolina getting a number one overall seed. But because Hubert Davis doesn't know how to run a set play, North Carolina is a bubble team, which is inexcusable. But at least they're in the tournament. We're not. So who am I to say? No, it's dumb. And we let it happen in the college football playoff. I would say the same thing if Scott Woodward was ahead of any tournament committee. It's dumb. It is so dumb that we let this happen. Not just in the room, but the head. I know. They have to recuse themselves from the room for reasons. Y'all, it is so dumb. It is so dumb to do that. All these ADs know each other. There's one athletic director in the SEC who launched the careers of multiple athletic directors in the SEC. And the athletic director is at Kentucky. So, it's silly to have ADs. I would rather, honestly, anyone else. Associate ADs. That would make sense. More sense than the head AD. Okay. Cole, you got my email. Hit me up, man. You and Sibley will get to meet each other. That's cool as hell. I might go. Let me talk to the wifey. I need to go get an oil change. Cooper Kupp to the Seahawks. Okay. I would have loved Cooper Kupp on the Saints. He met Ronnie Rance. That's cool. I know Ronnie. All right, y'all. Great show tonight. This was a healthy Sunday night stream of PHO Icons. Big shout out to our two super chatters tonight. Big John Sibley takes home the top prize alongside the great Jared Addison. We really appreciate you. Now, you are in luck. At the end of April, we're giving away a Ja'Marr Chase jersey. All you have to do is sign up for the PHL Patreon. It is linked down below. You get all our extra film studies and so on and so on. Check it out. Also, if you want to join our NCAA tournament group, the link is in our Discord. So check that out as well. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Shout out again to our friends at Zion Imaging. Kim Mulkey, let's do this damn thing. And tonight, we are doing lemon pepper chicken wings. Let's go. Let's go.